This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, it's election day here in Illinois. Missouri is going to be next week, right? On the 8th?
Yeah, a week from today.
Mark Cox is going to be with us in the next segment at about 1:25, and we're going to talk about what's coming up in the state of Missouri. But it's important to talk about Illinois. What direction is the state of Illinois heading in? Of course, we've been talking a lot about the Homeschool Act, so we thought we should get an update on that. So I went to Blaine Willauer, my friend, Illinois State Representative for the 110th District. He's also a member of the Illinois Freedom Caucus. Representative Willauer, thanks for being back with us. Good to have you.
Hey, always good to be here, Annie.
Give us an update right now. I can't remember the last time when we talked to you, if it was after everybody flooded. No, you were inviting people to come. That's right. What happened. You were inviting people to come to the Capitol building in protest of what the Democrats were trying to do with this Homeschool Act. Take us from the last conversation we've had on this issue. Where does it sit?
Yeah, well, people responded big time when we came on here and other places, and other folks did too, and said, "Come to the Capitol. You know, let these legislators here know what you think and let's inform them." And it worked tremendously as far as getting people there. They had to shut down the Capitol complex. There were so many people in there. And the last time that I seen that happen was back in 2019 when they were passing, you know, the first of some of their really, really bad abortion bills. So people definitely responded, and I think that everybody learned a lot. I think the legislators from Chicago and those places learned a lot. And I think that the thing that most people realized then, the people on the committee, they're kind of a lost cause. They're pretty far left. But there are other people in the legislature that aren't. But what we found is it's not a political issue. It's not really a Democrat-Republican issue. It's a parents' rights issue. And that cuts across the spectrum. You know, homeschooling and private schooling is the fastest growing form of education in America because the government schools are broken. And they're especially broken in our urban areas, you know, like Chicago, like St. Louis, you know, these places where, you know, in the city of Chicago, one out of every 10 kids, Annie, is reading at grade level, and it's worse on math. There's over 30 public government schools in the state of Illinois where not a single kid is proficient when it comes to reading, and it's even worse on math. So it's not a political issue. It's a parents' rights issue. Didn't go as well as, I wouldn't say we would hope that it was going to go better in committee because we actually know how that process works. But, like I told people that day, don't lose hope. Don't despair about what happens in this far left committee. This fight's just begun. And, you know, it's actually going to come back to committee on an amendment. So it's not even hit the floor yet. So there's still a lot long ways to go.
So Blaine Willauer speaking with us right now. Talk to us about the nuts and bolts of the process, because I think, and you were there, so you could agree or disagree with this. Sometimes I feel like especially in Illinois, where you've got a supermajority of Democrats, you pretty much have the votes anytime you want to do whatever you want. You just have to decide if you're going to be able to win the next election by you know, going through that if you're a Democrat. It feels like the minutiae of the process gets in the way, and people are like, oh, well, I thought we got all mad about that 2 weeks ago. We're still dealing with that. So it goes back to committee. What is the likely process that this will go through before, if at all, they actually take a vote on it in the legislature?
Yeah, so it has to go through the committee process. It has to be read three times. The committee's the first time, then it's read on the floor, and then on the third time it can be voted on. So we're still on the first prong of that process right now. It was held on second in the committee with a promise that it was going to come back to committee with an amendment. Do we think that the amendment's going to make it any better? No, probably not. But it's going to give the give an opportunity for people to come back up and, you know, make their voices heard. We had we peeled off one Democrat in the committee the last time around, and hopefully we can do some more. But ultimately, the hope is that, you know, even if this goes through committee, it's held on the floor because the speaker's not going to bring it up for a vote on the floor if it doesn't have, you know, close to unanimity amongst the Democrats. And you know, I really don't think that we're there yet, because like I said, a lot of these urban legislators, their folks don't like it. There was a great homeschool lady, an African-American lady that came down and testified very passionately for this bill, or against this bill rather, there. And there's more of that to come. So, you know, the hope is that it just, you know, won't be heard on the floor. And if it does, it wouldn't be the first time that some crazy thing passed the House and the Senate sat on it too. So there's a big process here. It's got to pass the House. It's got to go through the process here. Then it's got to start it over in the Senate. So people just need to stay positive, stay vigilant, and keep doing our thing, because it is working. It's getting a lot of national attention. Wall Street Journal did a great article on it. Forbes magazine did a great article on it. Even the Chicago Tribune, which we don't get much good coverage from there, they came out with a pretty common sense article on it too. So I think the common sense is in our favor here. Yeah. We just got to see it through.
Yeah, we don't always get to say that in Illinois, so it's good to hear you say that. Illinois State Representative on 110th District, Blaine Willauer, speaking with us right now. What is there, if anything, what can you ask of the Illinois listeners that we have right now in order to stay vigilant and to take action? You made a very specific request last time, which was to go to the Capitol. And we know for a fact that we have people in our audience here that did make that journey up to Springfield, 50 minutes or so, easy drive to up 55 to get to Springfield. Is there anything that people can do right now to push back against the Homeschool Act?
The biggest thing is to stay tuned. Right now we're not in this week, so we're safe for the next week or so here until we go back up there. But it's going to come back to committee. You're going to have a chance to do the witness slips again, which was outstanding. There was over 45,000 on the initial bill. Then they tried to slip in an amendment with less than 12 hours to go. In a matter of 12 hours before that committee, through the middle of the night, over 47,000 people expressed their opinion on this as opposing it. So there's always that. And showing up, man, fight. You know, Donald Trump said it the best. When we believe in something, we fight for it. We haven't done enough of that in Illinois. That's starting to change now. Let's shut down the Capitol complex, with our peaceful protest again, and just let these people know that, hey, not everybody in Illinois is crazy.
Yeah.
And not even everybody in Chicagoland's crazy. They still want their parental rights, whether they're Democrat or Republican. And I think we got a good chance of that message resonating.
So let's talk about that. Not everybody in Illinois is crazy. What was it, +8 or +9 for Donald Trump in the general election last November in 2024? We're all looking ahead to 2026. Of course, that midterm election for the country is the statewide election for Illinois. I want to know what you think about the Illinois Republicans' ability to get their act together, to unify, and to make the case for the common sense people of Illinois who voted more for Donald Trump than they voted for J.B. Pritzker. So you're saying there's a chance in 2026. What is the Illinois Republican Party doing to try to make sure that we can win in 2026?
Well, we need to get all those people to just come out and vote for Donald Trump. We need to get them to come out and vote. He got more votes in this state than J.B. Pritzker did either time that he was running. So we can't keep ignoring these guys. We're not, you know, I've said since I've been coming in since 2018, I'm a working class guy. And that's what the party is made up of now. We're blue collar folks, and we can't be afraid. We can't be afraid to stand up for the issues. We operate too much out of fear in the Republican Party in the state of Illinois. We can't do that because we got it, because nobody buys that. You know, there's a reason that Donald Trump's last ad in his successful presidential campaign is Kamala is for they, them, Trump is for you. Okay, people have had enough of the crazy. Let's be bold. Let's get out there. We're right on the issues. Illinois has a lot going for it. We've just had terrible leadership for a long time, and J.B. Pritzker is failing. That's a 100% fact. His stances are unpopular. He's on the wrong side of every issue. He cares more about confused boys going into girls' bathrooms than he does actually lowering property taxes and bringing opportunity back to this state. So we focus on that stuff. We've got a really good chance of winning. But if we go milquetoast and, you know, nominate a Mitt Romney type lukewarm Republican, we're going to get our butts kicked again. That's the bottom line. Let's be bold. What the hell do we have to lose?
Yeah, exactly. Is J.B. Pritzker, now he served two terms, but he is not term limited in the state of Illinois, so he can run again. Do you expect him to be the person on the Democratic ticket for the governorship next year?
Boy, if he was smart, he would run out of here as fast as he could, because this state is going down the drain.
So you're saying he'll be on the ticket?
Right. Goes without saying. I think that everything points towards him being on the ticket, and I think that outside of his billions of dollars, that bodes well for our state, because he's a complete disaster and he's wrong on every issue, and people are sick of him.
Here, I'm going to wrap this conversation up, because you were talking about not being milquetoast, not being the Mitt Romney Republican that is always trying to do in all the right political things, but they're actually not being right on the issues. They're not believable. Are there losing issues for a Republican to run on? You know, strong conservative Republican issues. Are there issues that the Republican Party traditionally stands for that are going to be losing issues for them in the state of Illinois in 2026?
Well, I think that we put too much credence on that, really. I think people want authenticity. I say the number one virtue in politics today, especially in a state like Illinois, where there are no easy answers on anything, is courage. You know, we've got to have the courage to do the right things and just tell people what you believe. You don't have to agree with them on everything, but be able to articulate it and, make some common sense. There's certain things that we're just not going to be able to do in Illinois. But, everybody has everybody's property taxes are out of control. Everybody's education system is in shambles. The parental rights have been assaulted at every turn in this state. So there are plenty of things that we can agree on. And like I said, people are tired of J.B. Pritzker and the fact that he can't even focus on Illinois because he thinks he's going to be president. We don't need that. We don't need that. We don't need the Illinois-ized, J.B. Pritzker-ized America, okay?
No. Yeah, they would. I don't think that's going to happen. And to your point, too, just to follow up, that if we were to get a Republican governor, and the Democrats will do everything they can to go to the far, far extremes on issues to try to say, this is what the governor is going to do. We are about as extreme on social issues in this state already that you can be. If they even move to the right, they would still be left of center. What kind of red wave monsoon would it have to be in order to get a General Assembly that right now is Republican super minority in order to bless a Republican governor, should we get that position, to be able to do any of these extreme things? I mean, the likelihood of that is there's just so much ground to cover.
Yeah, you're not gonna change it in one cycle. It didn't start overnight. It's not gonna end overnight. But the governorship is I think in play in this state, as it is all over the country, because the Democrats are just wrong. They're taking 80-20 issues and they're going to the 20 side on every single one of them. And Donald Trump has paved the way in a lot of regards on running on the issues. Be bold, go out and get it, at the end of the day, we need folks that are going to go out there and run and do the right thing and actually try to fix this state. And if they lose, they can go back to their professional life where, that's the type of people that we need there. But yeah. It's a long slot. slog, but getting the governorship for the next remap would be a huge plus on redistricting as well.
It certainly would. And Blaine, you're one of the good ones, and we're always grateful for you being on here with us and keeping us updated. We'll be in contact, especially as those committee hearings continue on the Homeschool Act, because it's not a no from Illinois. It's a hell no. And we need to make sure that we keep talking about it. Blaine, thank you. Love having you. Come back soon.
Yep. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Illinois State Representative Blaine Wilhauer, the 110th District Representative there, a fighter for truth and common sense, and in a way that I have always found very consumable and believable, not stuffy, which is what I feel like politicians used to think that you had to be. You had to look like you were like a cut above the rest.
Yeah, you had to be polished. You had to know exactly what to say so that nobody could use a soundbite against you.
Yeah, if you were Blaine and you just heard her say, like, politicians used to be like this, but now we...
You're offended.
No, he's not. That's the thing. That's exactly what he's going for. Why? Because he's a farmer. He's a real guy. He has kids. His kids are very similar. I think he has all boys, but his kids are similar to my kids' ages. We're very close in age, and he has a wonderful family, wonderful wife, and I didn't put him on the spot there, but I hope he runs for governor.
Me too.
That'd be fun.
I would vote for him.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think J.B. Pritzker's going to run again?
No.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I think he'll try both. I think he's going to try to run for president, and I think he will run for governor.
I hope he runs again so we can be like, oh, third term, huh?
You know what? He'd be stupid not to,
how do you
even
run,
if he is running.
How do you run for a third term of governor and then call Donald Trump like a king, a monarch?
And all the executive orders or the emergency orders that he would enact, and then he'd get 60 days into it or 90 days or whatever it was, and he'd just go, new one.
How long are
for
we
for a year?
How long are we out of COVID by Biden declaration while we were still under emergency orders?
But people voted for him again.
Yes,
with in that, the midst of that.
We were dealing with it.
Yeah,
he has so much money. It's the money in politics. I don't know what the answer is. I think this is something that the left and the right are both like, yeah, too much money in politics. But then, of course, as is usual, we disagree on which money and how it gets there and all of that stuff. And I admittedly don't know enough about PACs and funding and all of this stuff. But I just know, I mean, he self-funds the vast majority. I have two numbers in my head. One is $35 million, one is $50 million. And I don't remember which one it is, but I could Google it. He put, I'll go low, $35 million last time into his reelection bid campaign before he said he was running again.
That dude has a whole bunch of NGOs, too. He's putting a whole bunch of money in Wisconsin right now, too.
Elon. Mr. Musk.
Yeah, but the elections can't be bought.
I know. Yeah. Wow, we can't let the oligarchy buy elections.
What if they're for Democrats?
They're not oligarchs.
It's different. They're not oligarchs. They're just freedom-loving Americans.
All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to go to the west side of the river and talk to Mark Cox next. He is, of course, host of the Mark Cox Morning Show here on 97.1 and my friend. And we're going to talk to him about what's coming up in Missouri. Today's election day in Illinois. Go out and vote. Please go out and vote. If you have questions, I put a post up on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page last night. And I was just like, hey, y'all, who are you voting for? If you want to advocate for somebody for your local election, go on to the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, share that post, comment on it like, okay, I'm voting for this person, for a library board, for this township, or whatever it might be. Talk amongst yourselves, and please, please, please go vote. Mark Cox next. Don't go away.
Oh, Stu, I don't think we're going to see energy prices rise. They've already come down in response to President Trump's actions, just his messaging on marketplaces. What you're going to see is tariffs on U.S. exports come down across the world. President Trump's message has been free and fair trade, reciprocal trade. I'm talking to foreign leaders all the time, and they want two key things. They want to buy more American products. I'm talking to them mostly about energy, and they want to invest more dollars in the United States. You've got to remember, this president was elected to lower energy prices. He's been at work on that every single day. And of course, I'm working together with him on it. I'm actually super optimistic about where we're going. We're going to have lower energy prices, more investment in this country, more jobs for Americans. And Trump's central premise was that low-cost energy was good for American citizens, it was good for American security, it was good for America standing abroad, and he is full steam ahead on that agenda.
So that was the Energy Secretary, Chris Wright, and it's interesting to see his take, of course, on energy. And Donald Trump has made a commitment on bringing energy down, which he said was going to ultimately domino and lowering costs for businesses, deliveries, all the things that go into production. It seems as though everything Donald Trump wants to do to stoke this economy is... it's transformative. Like, you have to reset the foundation of the economy in order to get the results that he wants to see. And of course, tariffs are a big part of that. The YouTube live chat poll for today: do you support Trump's tariffs? Yes, unsure, or no? We'll do the same thing we did yesterday. And if we get 300 votes before 2 o'clock, we will take phone calls on this in the 2 o'clock hour. We're at about 200 votes right now, and I think that might be the first time I've said the poll. So let us know what you think about Trump's tariffs, if you're confident in them or if you're a little shaky on it. I want to ask my friend and guest, Mark Cox, about that, as well as what's going on in the state of Missouri. Mark Cox joins us now, of course, host of the Mark Cox Morning Show. Mark, thank you for coming on with us. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, my pleasure, Annie. Thank you very much. I am a solid yes on the tariffs.
And give us an explanation, because I would say, if I'm being honest, I'm unsure, but I trust Trump. But I still have a little, I hope he's right about this. What gives you the confidence?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I watched an interview this morning with Donald Trump from 1987. And in 1987, then businessman Donald Trump was complaining about how unfairly the United States was treated around the world. That has only gotten worse since 1987, and no president has ever addressed it. So I watched Caroline Leavitt yesterday. You may have seen the news conference outside. She was outside somewhere, and she held up a chart, and she pointed out to the tariffs that other countries charge us. Like, Japan charges a 700% tariff on U.S. rice, and the EU charges a 50% tariff on any U.S. goods going into the European Union. And my question is, why has no inquisitive reporter gone to the Japanese embassy and asked the ambassador to explain why they think it's okay that they charge 700% for U.S. products and we don't do the same thing to them?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think in my mind, and I don't know enough about economics. You certainly are more experienced in this department than I am, Mark. But, like, how could this go south? I'm trying to think of, I can listen to Donald Trump make the case of all the positive directions that tariffs could take us. It makes complete sense to me when he explains it, when Carolyn Leavitt shows those graphs. That all makes a whole lot of sense to me. But I don't know enough about the whole realm to understand, okay, this is what he thinks is going to happen, but what else could happen here that could cause us to go south?
The gamble is that the stock market reacts completely on emotion and not reality. And the emotion is that, well, this is immediately going to make prices go up a little bit. And obviously people get nervous about that. And Donald Trump's admitted there's going to be some pain. But there's no way the U.S. loses this gambit. We're the 900-pound gorilla in the room. Every country in the world wants to do business in the United States. And to some extent, they all want access to U.S. products. So even if Canada stomps its little foot up there. I watched that Ontario Prime Minister, whatever his name is, Doug Ford, the other day, claiming he's going to try to bring as much pain as he can to U.S. Residents over this because he's mad. And I'm thinking 95% of all Canadian imports come from the United States. All of their companies sell stuff in the United States. They cannot withstand that battle very long. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump knows that, and those countries know that, and they can stomp their feet and throw a fit. But ultimately, they're going to have to come to the table and either reduce their tariffs or it's going to damage their economy, too. I don't think there's going to be a long trade war over this.
Mark, I really like this debate. I like this topic because it's the kind of political debate we used to have in America, and both sides would come to the table and say, oh, I think this will happen, I think this will happen. But now we just yell. But now, you know, we're actually discussing a real topic here. And yeah. So I want to ask you another tariff question, and I really don't know how you'll answer this. Are you afraid that these nations that typically have done a lot of business with the United States, that they might form new coalitions and decide to do business with each other rather than the United States?
I guess they might, but what are they going to eat? I mean, Procter & Gamble and these big companies sell some of the most enjoyed products in the world. Medicines, tires, automobiles. I mean, there are people outside of the United States that demand those products. I don't think they could pivot their economies quickly enough to do that, Ryan, to be honest. They may fluster and bluster about it, but I don't think they can do it. I mean, it would take them too long to make deals like that and redirect trade routes and all of that. They've gotten fat off the back of American consumers for too long, and it's time for somebody to put a stop to it. I'm glad Trump's doing it.
Mark Cox is with us right now, host of the Mark Cox Morning Show right here on 97.1 FM Talk. I encourage you to check out Mark's Facebook page. You guys stream there every day on the show, and I know that you guys pay a lot of attention to that chat as well. So folks need to go like your Facebook page. Mark, I want to talk a little bit about Missouri. You and Mark Reardon do a wonderful job of covering these elections. We all here in this room are on the Illinois side. We're voting today and getting some results by the end of today. Tell me a little bit about what is in store for Missouri and where you're focusing your attention.
Yeah, you know, I put out this voter guide. I try to each election. I always get questions about it. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? This is not a big election in Missouri. These off-year elections. In fact, Senator Nick Schroer in Missouri has a bill that he's introduced that would move these elections to either August or November. Because when, you know, I think last year we got 15% or 16% turnout in some parts of St. Charles County. It was only barely higher in parts of St. Louis County. I mean, that's pathetic. And these are the elections where we're electing school board members who are going to decide your next tax rate.
Yeah,
they're going to decide curriculum issues. They're going to decide bathroom issues if your daughter has to go into a bathroom with a boy. I mean, these are critical positions, and for too long, voters have paid very little attention to them, and you can see the direct impact of that in test scores and how our schools are operating these days.
What's the reason to have them in April? I'm wondering the same thing about Illinois or anything like that. Why spring elections? Why would you not just have them in November?
I don't know the answer to that. When I brought this up to Rick Stream the other day, who is the Republican elections director, they have a Republican and a Democrat in St. Louis County, he was opposed to moving it because, for example, last November, the ballot was so long. If you had added all of these municipal elections, because there are county board elections, I think, in some counties. There's certainly a lot of municipal city council positions and mayoral positions that are on there. In addition to the school board issues, you might have had a 7 or 8 page ballot. And I think some of them are concerned that if it's automatically moved to every November, that wouldn't happen every year, but ever so often you'd come across a general election and you'd have a 7 or 8 page ballot. I think that's the main opposition to it. Now, if you run the NEA, your opposition to it is you don't want the competition.
Yeah.
The NEA thrives on getting its own members elected to these boards who then do the NEA's bidding for curriculum and bond issues and all of that stuff. They're perfectly happy leaving it in April because they have a built-in voter base that turns out and votes. Many of them are teachers.
You know, I don't know. I would rather vote in November on a 7 or 8 page ballot and spend all my time preparing for that than the infinitesimal teeny tiny amount of people who show up for these April votes.
I agree. I said that to Rick. I said I would trade the 70% voter turnout we had in November and an 8-page ballot for a 15% voter turnout in April. And obviously, as the elections director, he had a different point of view on it, but I still think it's important to get people to the polls. And I set that up to point out the fact that my voter guide is fairly short this year. I mean, it is physically impossible. You know, even though I have the largest staff in the radio station, as you're well aware of, 15 or 20 people who work for me. I don't know about you, Annie.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a big deal. I've got all these people that work for me.
I'm pretty sure Ryan Wiggins is one of them.
I actually prefer working with Mark Cox.
I bet you do. I prefer you working with Mark Cox, too.
I'm a one-man operation. And I couldn't – there's no way I could cover – every single one of the ballot issues. And so what I tried to do was focus on the major school board issues where I thought my listeners could make a difference.
Sure.
And therefore, you know, I've covered the Fox District, Francis Howell, Jefferson County Community College, Kirkwood, Lindbergh, Webster Groves, and Wentzville. Those are the school board issues. Now, there are a lot of other districts that have school board races, but it's pretty clear that there are no candidates in those races that I can support. Mm-hmm. They're all people that are either woke or they're supported by the Missouri NEA, and they're not going to vote in the best interest of the children. So that was my standard for the people. The background information that I've received on these individuals, these are the ones I can support for school board.
Mark, before we let you go, we had a little conversation yesterday on the air. I went to Macoupin County, Illinois this weekend and spoke at their Lincoln Day dinner. I know that you're constantly going to these. It's Lincoln Day dinner season in the spring. And so I know that you're doing all of this. And I'm going to continue to have this conversation on the air so that the people who do are our people. Mark, you know, the people you have and the people I have hear this and say, oh, maybe we do need to do this. I think 97.1 should have either a Missouri Lincoln Day dinner in one year and in Illinois the next, or we should have a joint Lincoln Day dinner of sorts and make a big thing out of it. Because I'm seeing a lot of people in Illinois, I don't know if it's the same in Missouri, there are a lot of people who are pretty jazzed up with that +8, +9 Trump turnout. Donald Trump did very well in the state of Illinois. It doesn't reflect in the gerrymandered districts, but there are people who are seeing the possibility that things could change in Illinois. And I know Missouri is always on fire for the right kind of conservative politics. I think we should have a station Lincoln Day dinner. What would you think about that?
I'm with you, Annie. I think that there would be a big appetite for that right now, no pun intended. I mean, sometimes those are rubber chicken dinners, we call them, because the food's not always great. But the passion is there, and people show up because they want to hear from their certain elected officials and whoever the speaker of the night happens to be. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a great idea.
And we'll have good food. We won't have rubber chicken.
We will make sure we have. We'll get Grillmaster Tony or somebody to cater that so that we have we have really good food. Let me mention one more thing before I run.
You bet.
I also cover St. Louis County's Prop B on here, and that's important for people listening in your audience who are in St. Louis County. This would allow the county council to, on a supermajority vote, if it was necessary, to fire department heads because they can't get cooperation from Sam Page. I'm a big yes on Prop B.
Yes on
and
Prop
Sam
B.
Page, yep, Sam Page is spending a lot of money to defeat Prop B, because he doesn't want the competition, but I'm a big yes on Prop B.
On Prop B. Very, very well said. All right, Mark, we appreciate you. Thank you for coming on with us. Go back to your afternoon.
All right, Annie, thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. I don't understand why you would not move these April elections.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so hard to get people motivated.
It is. And when I said yesterday that the election in my town had a total of 760 people in a town of 25,000 that had voted so far. Now, today, that'll change because that's election day, but all early voting was 760 people.
If anybody is listening to me right now and you are watching a precinct and you want to text me if you know me or you know people who know me and text me how many people have showed up to vote, I'd be curious.
I would love to hear
in
that.
In Illinois.
Yeah.
How many people have voted today? Because this is what we were discussing yesterday. Like, you could literally decide an election with your vote.
I've said it to my small group at church. I'm like, look, there are 10 people here. You guys could decide the whole election.
Completely.
And it's true.
All right. Let's take a quick break. The YouTube live chat poll. Do you support Trump's tariffs? Yes, unsure, or no? Probably should have promoted this a little bit earlier in the show. We've got 210 votes. If we get 90 votes on this before the 2 o'clock hour, we'll take questions on it in the 2 o'clock hour. Right now, you can vote yes, unsure, or no. Do you think Donald Trump knows what he's doing and you very much so support it? Are you scratching your head a little bit but maybe hoping for the best? Are you like, no, heck no, I don't like this? Annie Fry YouTube channel. You go to youtube.com/@AnnieFry. We need less than 300 new subscribers to get to 12,000, which would be amazing on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We invite you personally to come hang out with us there. We'll be right back. Well, at the beginning of, well, this is the middle of the 12 o'clock hour, we talked to Ryan Schmelz, and he was giving us an update on that. The Representative Anna Paulina Luna was trying to, she wants to make it so that for the first 12 weeks, new parents can vote remotely. So if you have a baby and you're going to spend 12 weeks with that baby, that you would be able to then vote remotely by proxy or whatever. And the House leadership ended up trying to stick that up against in a bill that would essentially, if you voted in favor of this, or a rule, it's called a rule. I don't really understand all the ins and outs of all of these procedural things. But the rule that they put forward, Fox News reports, and I'll just read it for them and hopefully it makes more sense to you than it does to me. Normally sleepy procedural vote ended in drama for the House of Representatives after a rebellion by Republicans against their own party forced planned chamber proceedings for the week to grind to a halt. Anna Paulina Luna and the Democrats and like nine other people won. So Mike Johnson, who was opposed to it and was trying to get this thing out of the way so they could get on with the business and not support this proxy voting thing, Mike Johnson lost. So Fox News reports it puts the future in question for two key bills backed by the Trump administration that were slated to get a vote this week. A mechanism known as a, quote, rule vote, end quote, which traditionally falls along party lines, is not an expression of support or opposition to specific legislation, failed on Tuesday when nine Republicans joined Democrats in an extraordinary rebuke of GOP leaders. It comes amid a weeks-long battle over the ability to vote remotely for new parents in Congress. It's an embarrassing setback for House Republican leadership, who put on a full court press for bills that would have limited district judges' ability to levy nationwide injunctions and would have mandated proof of citizenship to register to vote, respectively. Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna has been leading a bipartisan push for legislation that would allow new parents in the House to vote remotely for 12 weeks surrounding their child's birth. She attempted to force the bill onto the floor via a mechanism called a, quote, discharge petition, which would effectively end run leaders to hold a House-wide vote on legislation, provided the petition gets support from a simple majority of the House. Lawmakers rarely, if ever, lead discharge positions against their own party, but Luna's was poised for success with support from Democrats and some fellow Republicans. House GOP leaders attempted to block it, however, by inserting language in an unrelated rules package on Monday night that would have effectively prevented Luna's bill from getting a vote. That sparked a backlash among Republicans who either supported Luna's efforts or opposed leaders' attempts to change previously agreed upon House rules, and in most cases, a combination of both. So we had that precursor conversation with Ryan Schmelz at 12:25 from Capitol Hill. He's the Fox News Radio White House and Capitol Hill correspondent. And it looks as though Mike Johnson and his folks lost. And Fox News says it's not immediately clear what House GOP leaders will do next. They could call an emergency session of the House Rules Committee to consider modified language that does not target discharge positions.
I have a very strong opinion on this bill from Luna in that I do not care about it.
Well, and I think there's two things happening here. There's what she's advocating for, and then there's how they're trying to make it happen. And I think it's possible that some people would be okay with one, but not okay with the other. We could talk more about it here in a little bit. Stick with us. Do you support Trump's tariffs? YouTube live chat poll. Yes, unsure, or no. Annie Fry on YouTube. We'll be right back.
When Greg Hammond